Welcome to AMD Tech Talk, your source for the latest in data center innovation and insight on AMD's latest technology breakthroughs. And now here's your host, Jim Green.
Thanks for listening today. Our guest is Alan Benjamin. Alan is the CEO of Giga.io. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Can you give us a quick bio on yourself and a little bit on Giga.io?
Well, sure. A little bit of a bio on me. I came from originally from Hewlett-Packard, right? A couple of startups later, and after a successful exit of my last company, one of our current investors approached me about a fascinating technology that our chief architect had developed. That was back in 2017, and the company has proceeded from there. As a company, we started shipping product in 21. Our core technology is our ability to move bits and bytes at a remarkably quick pace. And what customers have come to us now, yes, your performance is great. And performance is really important, but as important or maybe even more important than absolute performance is how easy and simple is it to set up and administer systems that go fast. And that's really where Supernodes and Griff stand out.
Excellent. Excellent. So to kind of set it up here, Giga.io has grabbed the market's attention with the Fabrics solution. What was the problem space and how were customers trying to solve the problem before and what was so ineffective about it? What was kind of the new innovation needed?
The original problem space that we got started with, it was in the engineering and scientific areas.
Okay.
And these were marketplaces that were traditionally doing all their computation based upon CPUs and were starting to incorporate GPUs into their computation stream. Of course, once you have one, you want more than one. And so they were trying to group together numbers of GPUs. And it was as much a software issue as anything. They had to think about, how is it I'm going to coordinate the jobs between multiple GPUs? And they leaned back on the tools that they had at the time, which was MPI, which is sort of the traditional go-to for distributed computing. MPI works with GPUs. It's just not the most efficient way of distributing jobs across multiples of them. And so people came to us and said, you know, instead of having to rewrite the software to distribute it, it would be far simpler if what we could do is just simply have a much larger computer, right? A much larger server. So to us, this was the initiation of the concept.
Great. Okay. Well, I mean, that's pretty significant, right? Lowering the threshold to adoption and improving efficiency of that scale of a solution is a pretty big deal. What has the customer response been to the solutions? And do you want to share any other verticals or use cases where you've seen some of the most aggressive adoption?
Sure. Back to that original notion, it's really about it as much as anything. The performance is important, but The simplicity and ease of getting to that performance is equally important. And as some of our original customers at the National Science Foundation Labs or the DOE Labs have said, if you're depending upon people to change their software to be able to use your solution, you're most likely going to be disappointed, right? Because people just really don't want to do that. And one of the really key strengths of the Supernode has been, as we describe it, it just works. And so you can literally drop things on and have it work. Now, as AI has exploded, this same mantra has really been beneficial. We've had a number of the companies that are working in the inferencing space and in the augmented training space that are desirous of having a easy methodology for being able to scale up their solution and have come to us and we tell them it will just work. You can just drop your existing container on a supernode and you will enjoy the benefit of more GPUs, right? It's pretty much a linear scale. 32 will run 4 times faster than 8 or pretty close to it. Most times people don't believe it. And then they get on and they start running use cases. And they're probably more amazed at the fact they can drop their container on and they haven't had to change a thing. They've changed no software to get it to run. Then they see the performance advantage that they get and they really love it.
You want to talk a little bit about what you see as the next segments or customer sets or use cases that you see emerging next, maybe driven by AI, but maybe driven by other really difficult compute problems?
The AI space is obviously growing rapidly. A lot of the hoopla is around large language models, which, okay, look, you're using tens of thousands, approaching hundreds of thousands of GPUs. That's not really our application space. Where we are seeing a lot of momentum now is in the augmentation area. These are companies now that are adopting AI for everyday practical use within their companies. Obviously, they need some of the foundational model work, but they want to augment that model with their own personal data. So this is a retraining and a fine-tuning process. And oftentimes, you know, they want 32 to 64 GPUs, and the supernodes are just perfect for that environment. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for parsing through that, because a lot of people do generally kind of equate the ChatGPT type model when there's a lot more nuance to it. So thanks for kind of taking a little bit deeper. Let's also go deeper on your it just works model here, because that's a compelling argument. Everyone wants to test that a little bit. So let's go a little deeper and understand what a customer really needs to do to adopt the solution. I mean, it just runs is a great story, but are there things that you could do to further optimize and to build for this composable infrastructure solution?
Absolutely. First, let's talk about the does it just work? And then as the corollary to it, the optimize, it could just work, but work poorly. Mm-hmm. So there's also this optimization standpoint to it as well. The it just works is really the statement of we now integrate. So a supernode, obviously there is a bunch of hardware associated with a supernode, but it is not just the hardware, right? In fact, the really important part to making the it just work statement true is the integration of a large degree of software. And in our case, we now integrate completely to the PyTorch and TensorFlow library level. For people in the AI world, if in fact their applications are written in PyTorch, written for the TensorFlow libraries, literally you don't change a thing. So you can take optimized containers that exist on the AMD Infinity Link website or on the NVIDIA NGC site, those optimized containers that are optimized literally for servers that have 4 or 8 GPUs, you can drop them onto a supernode with 32 GPUs and they will just run. And in most cases, you will get either 4x or close to 4x the performance advantage. So you'll get full advantage of those 32 GPUs. Now, in terms of optimizing, you're in a complex environment with the CPUs, the GPUs, and this interconnect. So there are optimizations around making sure your software runs well on the particular GPU and the CPU and GPU combination. The thing that the interconnect can do really in helping you, A, it itself has to be optimized, and we've done that as part of the supernode environment. And B, we can give the developers the maximum number of options and choices. And particularly in AI, a lot of the trade-offs are around how they want to parallelize their models. Certain interconnects can prevent a number of options, and so you get left with just a very small set of which to choose. Supernode actually gives you a very wide number of options, and it's much easier for people that are fine-tuning and doing these augmentation models. It's much easier for them in their environment. That's what they tell us. It's much faster, or as one of them has told me, he said, the thing we love about Supernode is it's much easier and much quicker to get to fast enough performance.
Mm-hmm. So you parsed through AI and kind of shared some of the segments and workloads that you expect to be most important for you. Let's take a little bit different look at this and say, what opportunities are there for you to utilize AI within your products to enhance the customer experience, perhaps in the optimization space or the configuration or the management? Are there opportunities for you there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is an area that we're actively exploring. I'll call it intelligent system adaption. You end up with this environment in which you have a server environment that's got a lot of resources. You've got 32-ish GPUs, you've got a bunch of storage, you got a bunch of memory, you got CPUs. It's really important. The system itself can there's a lot of telemetry information. There's a lot of monitoring of the system and what is happening within that system, understanding how the traffic is flowing within that system. And then across, we can create what's called an array of supernodes. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the supernode itself. It could be an array of supernodes. Understanding the condition of the various endpoints at all times and shaping how that traffic flows, we think it's going to be a really interesting area.
Excellent. Excellent. So your company's worked with AMD to optimize performance of hardware and software across our broad portfolio here. You want to comment a little bit on some of the collaboration processes and maybe some of the results?
Sure. Gosh, we work really well with AMD as the broader organization, the CPU group, the GPU group, the FPGA group, the networking group.
A lot of bits in there.
The interconnects. And from a business standpoint, it interconnects. This ability to be able to make the statement, it just works. There's a lot of activity across all of those domains to actually be able to make that statement. And so the CPU, it's fair to say that the CPU and the GPU teams and the FPGA teams, they've never quite seen the numbers that we can put together, down to some of the software constraints, where the ROCm guys, when we first started, there were hard-coded limits on 8 GPUs to a system. And we'd say, well, now we're going to be able to run 32 or 64. And they would say, how? How can you possibly do that? We would show them, and then they would say, oh, well, the ROCm code is going to have a problem. Okay. And so it's been this type of collaboration that's been an iterative process, and AMD has put together, we've done a very nice job, I think, from both groups working at an engineering level to be able to identify and solve technical problems. Also on the business relationship side, to be able to build solutions that are actually economically good for both companies.
You know, once a college professor of mine once told me that easy reading is hard writing. And I see this all the time on the technical side, where customer simplicity and ease of adoption is only the result of enormously hard collaboration and integration work on the back end. So it's amazing how that always transfers.
Gosh, that is such a true statement. It's such an easy thing to say. So, you know, I'll give you an example. AMD and ourselves did a joint booth at ISC this year, the International Supercomputing Show in Germany. One of the software packages that we were both showing was a CFD application, a computational fluid dynamics package. And this was a company that came to us when we started talking about supernodes, and they said, we now have the ability to use AMD to run this code. We're limited to a single node, and we've been limited to 8 GPUs. So now you've got the supernode, we can run 32, and you claim it'll just run. We said, yes, it's going to just run. You can just drop it on and run. So he was a little bit skeptical, the designer. So we gave him access to the supernode over a weekend. He got on Friday night, he put his code on, and he told us within about 10 minutes of putting his code on, he goes, oh my God, it is actually just working. I didn't change a single line of code. And he went on to build a model of, it's an airflow across the wings of a Concorde coming in for a landing. And it's visually very pretty. He claims that it's one of the largest CFD models ever created, right? It's like 40 billion cells. And he would say most times people wouldn't do this because they don't have the computational power at their hands to do it. And so they use cruder models, but they wish they had finer models. So he did it just to see if he could. And he said, if I had done this on my conventional hardware, this would have taken a year to run. He ran the whole thing from start to finish in 32 hours on a supernode over the weekend. He posted his results on X. For a highly technical thing, he got almost 100,000 tweets, retweets, and comments on it. I mean, it just really exploded. It was a wonderful example of the power of the AMD GPUs combined with the AMD CPUs, and it does, in fact, just work when you put them all together in big size on a supernode.
Well, a great example here. Alan, where can folks find out more about the solutions you discussed here, the show at ISC, or otherwise engage your team?
The best place to start is on our website, which is gigaio.com. As you scroll through and find out things, if you want to talk to us, there's a button there that says contact us. fill out the info, and we're happy to have the conversation.
Fantastic. This has been a great discussion, Alan. Thanks a lot for sharing your insights with us today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. And thanks to our audience for listening as we talk tech. Until next time.
Thanks for joining AMD Tech Talk. Find out more about the technologies discussed today at www.amd.com.